Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Here comes this old man. Let's see if he's got something to say. If you see me moving my head, I have arthritis in my neck, and it's very painful right now. So I have to move it back and forth, keep it smooth. Very good. This morning, as you were told, our subject is the silence of God, and that's a tremendous subject. Books have been written about it. It's been a mystery for many, many people. And so we want to look at that this morning. And it's such a subject that I don't know how I can cover it in about 40 minutes. It would take several weeks every day because there's so much to say about it. But we'll see how it goes, okay? I'm glad to be here. I was a little bit late, you know why. And I came in through this door. I shouldn't have. I was planning to come into that door, not to disturb. But it was raining so hard, and I had the last spot here to park, so to go all the way around, I would have been soaking wet. That's why I came in, and I didn't realize the door would slam shut, so I'm sorry, but class went on anyway. Very good. Let's turn in our Bibles to the Psalms. I've got to put my glasses on to read. I got cataracts removed. I can see far away again, but for reading, it's still a bit difficult. Psalm 28. We're going to read several verses in the Psalms. Psalm 28, that's in the middle of the Bible, about easy to find, but there's so many of them, 150. Psalm 28, I got it. Verse 1, Psalm 28, verse 1. Do you have it? You're going to have to do some paging this morning. Psalm 28, verse 1. To you I will cry, O Lord my rock. Do not be silent to me, lest if you are silent to me, I become like those who go down to the pit. So you see, David had trouble with God's silence. Then we turn to Psalm 39. We have another word of David. Psalm 39, verse 12. 39, verse 12. And it says, I've got the New King James, eh? Hear my prayer, O Lord, and give ear to my cry. Do not be silent at my tears. For I am a stranger with you, a sojourner, as all my fathers were. So again, he's talking about the silence of God. Then we go to Psalm 83, and there we have Asaph. Not David, but somebody else. Psalm 83, verse 1. Do not keep silent, O God. Do not hold your peace. And do not be still, O God. So there again, do not keep silent, O God. So you see that many people through the ages have had problems with the silence of God. Lord, why are you silent? Now, I want you to go back to Psalm 22, and there's something very amazing there, or interesting. Psalm 22, maybe you know it. It starts out with those words, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And by the way, we have 150 Psalms, and we have them numbered. Yeah, and so now we go to Psalm 22. The Jews knew most of the Psalms by heart. You know how they remembered them? They didn't have them numbered like we have. They remembered the Psalms by the first line of the Psalm. So when Jesus cried on the cross, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? The Jews knew immediately he was talking about Psalm 22. Yeah. Now look what it says. My God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from helping me and from the words of my groaning? Oh my God, I cry in the daytime, but you do not hear. And I cry in the night season and am not silent. Now, I've got another translation here. It says, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from saving me, so far from the words of my groaning? Oh my God, I cry out by day, but you do not answer. You are silent. Now, this is the Psalm of David. But we, as good brethren, we all know that this is also talking about the Lord Jesus, and Jesus used those words when he hung on the cross. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why was God silent? And it happened twice, here and also in the Garden of Gethsemane. Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Three times he prayed that prayer, and three times, no answer. God was silent. God was silent to his own son. We wonder, why does God not answer our prayers? Why doesn't he intervene in our lives? Well, he didn't in Jesus. He didn't intervene in Jesus' life. We were just talking about it before the meeting. that wonderful song, he could have called 10,000 angels, yeah, but he didn't. God could have sent 10,000 angels, but he didn't. And why? And this is very important. Why did God not answer Jesus? Why was God silent towards his son? Because God had the whole world in mind. You see, we are so focused on ourselves. Why doesn't he answer my prayer? Why doesn't he help me? Why doesn't he intervene in my life? Yeah, me. My. God has the whole world in mind. And so Jesus needed to die to be able to save the world, or at least many people in the world. Christ needed to die. That's why God was silent. You see, God had something totally different in mind. God didn't have in mind to deliver Jesus from the cross. No, because nobody could have been saved. Jesus had to go through this. He had to pay that price. That's why he came to earth. Now, the Bible says that the whole creation groans. Remember in Romans chapter 8? And I believe the groaning, I believe some of the like storms and earthquakes and things like that are the groanings of the planet. But it's not only that. The whole creation groans. All people in the world groan in a sense. Many groan because they're so poor. Many groan because they're hungry, they have no food. Thousands are dying every day. 3,000 babies in Africa die every day because of starvation. And people are groaning. The whole world is groaning. And God has the whole world in mind. So, I want to talk about two things. Why is God silent in regards to the world? And why is God silent in regards to me personally? When I call upon him or when I need him, and he is silent. Let's take the first one. What do we do with the silence of God in regards to the world? Think of the Holocaust. 6 million Jews were killed. And the heavens were silent, a deafening silence. You wonder, God, where are you? Now in Ukraine, the Second World War, I went through it. I was a little kid, but I know all about it. Where was God? Where is God? Where is God in North Korea? It's a real problem. This is a reason why quite a number of people do not believe in God, or have turned away from God. In fact, this is almost the main reason why people do not believe. The suffering of people in the world, the misery in the world. And it is a real problem. It is a real problem. But there are a few answers. Excuse me. So we think, like for the Holocaust and what's happening in Ukraine, why doesn't God speak? Why doesn't he thunder from heaven? Well, he did at Exodus, in the book of Exodus at Mount Sinai. In fact, his speaking was so tremendous or so awesome or whatever you want to call it, what the right word is, that the people said to Moses, Moses, you speak to us. Don't let God speak to us. We're going to die. And a little bit later they say, Moses, whatever God says, we'll do. They were so impressed. They were so in awe and so terrified too. They said, Moses, whatever God says, we'll do. Did they? Well, we all know what happened, don't we? It wasn't much later, and they were making a golden calf and worshiping that. God had spoken loud and clear. They'd heard his voice, and they were terrified. Ooh, they were impressed. Moses, you speak to us. Don't let God speak to us, because we can't stand it. And whatever God says, we'll do. Didn't last very long, eh? So what's the use of God speaking when people don't listen anyway? So why doesn't God intervene, or why is God silent? And I've got four reasons here. Number one, he created us with a free will. Now, we all know that, so I won't spend time on that. Now, God didn't want a robot or robots. God wanted creatures that would voluntarily, spontaneously love him. I think I've told you before that I'm so glad I'm not married to a robot, even though sometimes would be handy. Yeah. When we were still in Belgium, I came home many a time at 12 o'clock, 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock. I've come home 4 o'clock in the morning. Yeah, and then my wife would get up and come to the door, and sometimes her face wasn't all too friendly. Yeah, and I didn't get a kiss. Now, if she'd been a robot, I would just push a button and her arms would have gone around me. But, what kind of business is that? Yeah, and that's the way it is with God. He wants creatures that choose out of their own free will to follow him. But of course, when you have a creature like that, there is the danger that creature turns away from you. And that's, of course, what happened with Adam and Eve and with all of mankind. So that's one. We have a free will, and God does not interfere with that free will. Yeah? And God doesn't make us do things. God is not a rapist. He doesn't force us to love him. Yeah, that's what rape is. Secondly, if God were to intervene, if God were to speak from heaven, if God were to intervene, where would he draw the line? And listen, I may have mentioned this once before, I don't know. You probably don't remember anyway. Years ago, it must have been 1974, 75, I was starting to work in Eastern Belgium. And there's 13 churches there now. And I had some meetings with young people. And one night I had about 18, maybe 20 young people sitting around a table, and this matter of evil in the world came up. And why doesn't God speak? Yeah, why is God silent? Why doesn't he do something? And they had all kinds of suggestions, and I kept quiet, listened to them first, and then I said, listen, I have a suggestion. You know something? Why don't we all pray together and ask God that tomorrow morning at 6 o'clock, he would take all the evil out of the world? And these young people, 15, 16, 17, 18, without thinking, yeah, no, let's pray. I said, just a moment, before we pray, let's say goodbye to each other. And they looked at me, well, what for? I said, if God is going to take all evil out of the world by tomorrow morning, 5 o'clock, are you still going to be here? Are you without evil? You know that psychiatrists say that in every person, there is a murderer. But it only comes out under certain circumstances. The reason that most of us don't murder is because we've been brought up quite well and we don't do things like that. Yeah. So if God has to take evil out of the world, where does he have to draw the line? What evil does he have to take away? Oh, there's a war in Ukraine, but how many wars aren't there in homes? I've gone to homes to counsel, and I tell you, the plates were flying around, the kids were hiding under the table because mom and dad were at war with each other. And that happens more than you think. Yeah. So where does God have to draw the line? Where does he have to intervene, and where doesn't he have to? Number three. Come with me to Jeremiah chapter 6. That's in the Old Testament too. Jeremiah chapter 6. It's before Ezekiel. Jeremiah, we call him the weeping prophet. And what that man went through is unbelievable. Jeremiah chapter 6, verse 10. Chapter 6, verse 10. And it says there, to whom shall I speak and give warning, that they may hear? Indeed, their ear is uncircumcised, and they cannot give. The Lord is a reproach to them, and they have no delight in it. God wanted to speak to them, but they didn't want to hear. They had no delight in the word of the Lord. And also verse 17. And it says, also I set watchmen over you, saying, listen to the sound of the trumpet. But they said, we will not listen. Yeah. What's the use of God speaking if people don't listen anyway? That's the mess we're in today. God spoke to Adam and Eve, but they didn't listen. Yeah. And then lastly, Psalm 81. And that's a real good one. Psalm 81. Very, very interesting. We find much the same as Romans chapter 1, but we won't talk about that. Psalm 81. And I'll start at verse 8. Psalm 81, verse 8. Hear, O my people, and I will admonish you. O Israel, if you will listen to me, there shall be no foreign god among you, nor shall you worship any foreign god. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt. Open your mouth wide, and I will fill it. That's a beautiful verse. God says, come on, open yourself up to me, and I'll fill you. Open your mouth wide, and I will fill it. But my people would not heed my voice, and Israel would have none of me. Can you imagine? Well, there's a lot of people today exactly the same. Yeah, and Israel would have none of me. Verse 12, so I gave them over to their own stubborn heart, to walk in their own counsels. God says, okay, you don't want me. Do it your own way. And that's exactly what's happening in the world today. People are doing it their own way. And that's why we're in such a mess. My people would not heed me. God says, come on, listen to me now. Fill your mouth. I'll bless you and everything else. No. No. They would have none of me. That's a very interesting verse, verse 12. So I gave them over to their own stubborn heart to walk in their own counsels. Okay, have it your way. Do whatever you want. Sure. And we see what's happened. Okay, that's enough about the world. Now I come to myself. What time is it? Yeah. But something, yeah, let's turn to Hebrews chapter 12. And of course, Rob already mentioned it or talked about that, and I thought he was going to take my whole message away, but the Bible is a thick book, so. Hebrews chapter 1. Well-known verses. Chapter 1. So God has been silent a lot, but not always. Yeah, he spoke to Adam and Eve, and they didn't heed his words. He must have spoken to Noah. Yes, he did. He spoke to Abraham. He's spoken to people in the Old Testament different times. Now, Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1. God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the worlds. I'll stop there for time's sake. So God spoke at various times, at different times, and in different ways, to the fathers by the prophets. God used the prophets. He spoke through the prophets. Ezekiel, Daniel, David, and you name it. Yeah. But in these last days, verse 2, has in these last days spoken to us by his Son. Another translation says he has spoken to us in his Son. And actually, that's better. It isn't that Jesus spoke God's word, that God gave Jesus the command to preach his word. No, Jesus was or is God's word. In fact, in Revelation it says that he has a name written on himself, the word of God. Yeah, he's the living word of God. So God has not been silent all the time. Yeah, many times he has been because they didn't want to heed. They didn't want to listen. There was no use. He gave them over. He said, okay, have it your own way. Yeah, but he has spoken. But I like this, what it adds to then. Verse 2, has in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things. You know something? We could say in a sense that Jesus is God's last word to a lost world. And if you don't repent of your sin, if you don't surrender to God, if you don't accept the Lord Jesus, God's Son, God has nothing more to say to you. That's his last word. Here, my Son, I give you my Son. That's my word. That's your redemption. But if you don't want to accept him, if you don't want to listen to him, I've got nothing else to say to you. That's strong. Eh? If you ever talk to your relatives or get a chance to talk to your relatives or friends or whatever, you should tell them that. God has spoken very clearly in his Son. You look at the cross, God is speaking. What do you see when you look at the cross? You see the holiness of God. He can't stand sin. And you see the love of God, the grace of God. Yeah, he can stand sin. We needed to be condemned and destroyed, but instead of that, he condemned his own Son in our place. Unbelievable. So God has spoken in the past through the prophets, and now he has spoken by his Son or in his Son. And if you don't accept the Son, keep that in mind. If you don't accept the Son, God has nothing more to say. What can he say? The Son is the full expression of the Father and everything else. Yeah. If you don't accept him, there's nothing more to say. Now, to come to us personally, if you don't accept him, God has nothing more to say. But if you do accept him, the relationship is restored and God will start speaking to you in different ways. And I'll mention some. But listen to this. Excuse me. Andrew Peterson has a song, The Silence of God. And it says this, listen, it's enough to drive a man crazy. It'll break a man's faith. It's enough to make him wonder if he's ever been sane. when he's bleeding for comfort from thy staff and thy rod, and the heaven's only answer is the silence of God. Yes. And I can put myself in it. I've had moments, yeah, when you're bleeding for comfort, when you're really hurting, and you go to the Lord, silence. Yes. Now, why? Why doesn't God speak? Why doesn't God intervene in my life? Why do I go through those rough periods? Okay, I've got six things to share with you. What's the time? Oh, yeah, that's possible. But I have three other things, a little bit funny in a way. My question to you is, do you want God to speak to you? Now listen here. This is a crazy example, I know, but let's say that Pat loves beer. I don't think he does. I don't know. Okay. But suppose he does. He loves to go with his friends to a cafe and drink beer. So one night they go, and I don't know how strong beer is here. I know how it is in Europe, but or how it is here. But let's say his limit is six beers. If he takes the seventh one, he can't drive home anymore. And he stands there at the bar, and he's just ordered the seventh one. And a voice comes, and a hand comes out of the ceiling, takes the glass, and says, "Pat, you've had enough." Now, no, I won't use Pat because I know how he will react. But you know how a normal person would react? "Hey, get out of my way. That's my business. I'm old enough to make my own decisions." Isn't that right? We don't want God to speak that way. Or when you want to go to a movie and it's a bad one. Yeah. Ooh. And as you come to the theater, there's a man standing there. He says, "No, you can't go in there. That's not good for you." What do you say then? "Well, thank you so much for being concerned for me." No, you say, "Get out of the way, man. I'm an adult. I can make my own decisions." We don't want God to interfere. Oh, we want him to interfere when things are going wrong. And when we need him or something desperately, then, "God, where are you?" Something else. I said God is concerned for the whole world. Okay? There's at least 3,000 babies dying every day in Africa from famine. And God knows it. And God sees that. Now, do you want God to speak? Do you want God to come to you and say, "Listen, I want at least a third of your possessions to feed those people in Africa"? Would you be happy with that? Interesting. So, but now, here are six reasons why he is silent. The first one is, and Rob already said that and we read it, he already has spoken in his word. Yeah, you want God to speak? Well, my goodness, he's got lots to say here. Yeah, an awful lot. So he has spoken in his word. And the question is, are we obedient? Jesus said, "If you love me, keep my commandments." Somebody has said once, God gives you light. But until you follow that light or obey that light, you don't get any more light. And that's true. I've experienced that in my own life, in mission work. God shows you the way. God gives you light. But if you don't obey that, you don't hear from him. The moment you obey, he's got more. And you obey, and he's got more. Yeah. So are we truly walking in obedience? Are we walking in the light? Are we doing what Jesus said? He said at different times, "If you love me, you keep my commandments." And it says, and his commandments are not difficult. Oh no. The opposite. Number two, turn with me to Isaiah chapter 59. Isaiah, that's one of those prophets too. We'll call him the messianic prophet because he speaks the most about the Lord Jesus. Especially chapter 53, I think we all know that chapter. And many Jewish Bibles have taken chapter 53, have cut it out because they don't know what to do with it. Yeah, interesting. But I want you to turn to chapter 59. Chapter 59. Chapter 59, verse 2. And there it says, but you're in it. Well, let's take verse 1. "Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, nor is ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated you from your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you so that he will not hear." Iniquity. Known sin in your life. And I think we all realize that and know that if we allow sin in our lives, and sometimes you know we need to sit down and be quiet and read the Bible and listen to God and ask God, God, show me where I'm disobedient. Yeah. Show me why the fellowship between you and me is broken. Is there something in my life? Is there some known sin? No, we sin all the time, certainly. But it's not that we want to do that. Yeah, we're weak. And by the way, there's a beautiful verse in Timothy, 2 Timothy 3, I think it is, or 2, 3. And it says, if we are faithless, he abides faithful because he cannot deny himself. I think it's a beautiful verse. If I am faithless, and I don't know how it is with you, but I have to honestly admit and confess that I'm faithless at times. I don't read my Bible as I should. I don't pray as much as I should. In fact, the older I get, the more difficulty I have praying. Strange. Yeah. So what is breaking my fellowship with God? And if there is something, God cannot speak to me. Okay, number three. James chapter 4, the New Testament. James chapter 4. That's in the New Testament, almost towards the end. The book of James, that was the brother of Jesus. And there's a beautiful verse in there too. I'll just throw it in. I hadn't meant to mention it, but now that we're in James anyway. Chapter 3, it says, verse 1, my brethren, let not many of you become teachers, knowing that we shall receive a stricter judgment. For we all stumble in many things. Oh, that has often comforted my heart. James, the half-brother of Jesus. Yeah, one of the apostles, one of the higher-ups in Jerusalem in the church. And he says, we all. He doesn't say you. He says, we all stumble in many ways or in many things. Oh, thank God, I'm not the only one. Yeah. What a blessing. Chapter 4, verse 3. Chapter 4, James, verse 3. You ask and do not receive because you ask amiss, that you may spend it on your pleasures. Why is God silent? Why doesn't he speak when I'm praying? Why doesn't he answer? Because I'm asking for the wrong thing. Jesus did. Jesus asked for the wrong thing. Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. No, it's very normal. We understand. But God was silent. So Jesus went to his disciples, found them sleeping, woke them up, went back, prayed the same thing. Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. God was silent. He was asking for the wrong thing because he had to die on the cross. That was the Father's will. I came to do my Father's will. And the Father's will was to die on the cross in our place. So Jesus was asking for the wrong thing. And I think that often happens to us. We have to really think, am I asking for the right thing? Am I asking for the right reason? Yeah. Okay, number four, I'll just mention it. We won't go into it. Number four, the answer is still coming. Why isn't my prayer being answered? Because it's still underway. And there's a beautiful example in the book of Daniel. Daniel begins to pray and goes on for 3 weeks. And then the angel comes and says, Daniel, from the day that you started praying, I left the throne of God to give you the answer. But the enemy withheld me. There was a war between the satanic demons and the angels of God. There was a war going on. There is a real spiritual atmosphere, of whatever you want to call it. And there's a real spiritual war. There's much more going on than what we see and hear, people. Amen. I'll come to that in just a moment. Our perception of things is not often what reality is. Yeah. And so the angel says that 3 weeks ago, right away when you started, I left the throne of God to bring you an answer. But I couldn't get to you. I was opposed. Paul was opposed. He writes to the Romans, I think, and to the Corinthians. I wanted to come to you, but Satan held me back. God allowed it. Oh, the Thessalonians, he says too. But God allowed Satan to do that. And that's why we now have the books, 1st and 2nd Thessalonians. If Paul would have been able to go to Thessalonians, we wouldn't have had these letters. See? So the answer is still coming. You may have to wait a while. Okay? Number five. And this is interesting. Why is God silent at times? Because he wants us to grow in faith. And I became a Christian in 1960. So that's 40, 62 years ago. Wow, I'm old in more than one way. Yeah. And over the years, I've noticed God wants us to grow in faith. And to be honest, when I first became a Christian, yeah, I was a wild guy, and I really got converted. The community talked about this wild flying Dutchman and how he had changed. It was tremendous. And I really sensed God's presence and God's guidance, you know, very, very much so. I don't anymore. Yeah, not the way it was then. And I think there's a reason. Suppose I am married, we have three girls, but suppose I have a little boy, 3 years old. And we plant our garden, and after a while I say to him, Johnny, let's go weed the garden. You help Daddy. And Johnny goes with Daddy. Daddy has to say, Johnny, that one you pull out, but that one you leave alone. Right? Because he doesn't know. When Johnny gets to be 18 years old, I say, Johnny, would you please go weed the garden for an hour? Do I still tell him that one you take and that one you don't? No. And when I was first a Christian, God says, you do this and you don't do that. While now he wants me to be mature and be able to discern the things for myself. We have the mind of Christ, the Bible says. And we should be able to discern ourselves. And I notice that my thinking is a lot like God's thinking. Yeah. Now listen to this. He wants our faith to grow. Listen carefully. Believing atheism is like modern people believing in a flat earth. The atheist says, from where I stand, it doesn't look like God is there. Right. And if you only trust your perceptions, the world looks flat, especially when you live in southern Saskatchewan. We live near Regina. And Regina, beautiful city, but all around, it's flat as a pancake. Flat as a pancake. You can see as far as you want, flat as a pancake. And so going by your own perceptions, you would come to the conclusion, the earth is flat. But we don't go by our own perceptions. We go by science. We go by the experience of people. I've been in a plane 30,000 feet high, and then you see that the earth is round. Yeah. And of course, now with the satellites up there and this and that, and the space station up there. So listen to these words again. If you only trust your perceptions, the world looks flat. The only reason we know the world is round is because of scientific revelation and many corroborating testimonies. So don't go by your perceptions. Go by faith in the facts. I spoke here 2 weeks ago on Easter, and I talked about Thomas. Remember, doubting Thomas? What did Jesus do with him? Jesus said to Thomas, come, put your finger in my hands, the wounds in my hands, and put your hand on my side. What did Jesus tell Thomas to do? Thomas, examine the facts. Don't go by your feelings, Thomas. Your feelings say people being risen from the dead, it's impossible. Don't go by your feeling. Go by the facts. And how we need to know that. Don't go by your feelings. Go by the facts. When your feelings say God isn't listening, the fact is he is listening because his word says so. When you get the feeling that God isn't with you, the facts say, Hebrews 13, I am with you always. So we don't go by our own perceptions. We don't go by our own feelings. We go by what God has said, and we know that his word is true. It's been proven over and over and over again, and proven in my own life too, but proven through the ages. Just remember Thomas. Don't go by your own perceptions. Don't go by your own feelings. Examine the facts. And I think we need to challenge people around us too. For the resurrection, or even for the existence of God. Have you ever really examined the fact? You know, the writer of Ben-Hur, the movie, the book, General Lee Wallace, he was sitting on a train. He was an atheist, or at least unbeliever. And somebody on the train was reading his Bible. This person was reading the Bible. And somehow they got talking. And Wallace sort of laughed with the Bible and God and this and that. And this man said, General Wallace, have you ever examined the facts? Have you ever examined the Bible? Have you ever examined the resurrection? And well, he didn't know what to say. But he went home, and this haunted him. And he started examining. Well, he became a Christian and he wrote the book, Ben-Hur. Wonderful movie. Yeah. Examine the facts. Okay, the last one, the sixth one. God is silent sometimes because he wants us to grow in dependence on him and in love for him. Excuse me. In my book, The God Who Is Real, that Rob mentioned, I have a story about Christine, but let's call her Susie for now. Christine is sort of a Belgian name. Susie, there's a father with a little girl, 10 years old, Susie. And every day the father goes to his work, and Susie brings her father to the bus stop, and the father says, the father comes home every night about 5 o'clock, and Susie goes to the bus stop to get him. And every time the father has some kind of candies with him for Susie. But this one day, just as he's about to leave, he says, Susie, I'm sorry, but I don't have any candies left, and I can't go buy any where I am at my work. So I'm sorry, I won't have any candies when I come home this time. So 5 o'clock comes, and the father is riding home on the bus, and he wonders, is Susie going to be there? Because I don't have any candies. And he comes to the bus stop. No Susie. Ooh, that hurts. But as he gets off the bus, all at once, around a corner, Susie comes running, and jumps him, hugs him. The father says, then I knew that Susie loved me, not because of the candies, but because I'm her father. And God has given me candies, wonderful feelings. I've had a few times that I thought I was in heaven. And I thought, Lord, let me stay there. Yeah, but no, not yet. But lots of times I don't get those candies. Because God wants me to live by faith. God wants me to love him. Not because of the good feelings he gave me. Not because of answers to prayer. He wants me to love him because of who he is. And my this morning at the Lord's table, do this in remembrance of me. How many times in the Old Testament does Moses say to the Jewish people, remember? Remember what God did? And Moses reminds them of the miracles God has done, the greatness of God, the power of God, and everything else. Well, when we break bread, when we remember Jesus, that's the greatest work God has ever done. Yeah. So do you love him because of the candies? Do you love him because he helps you get a job? Of course. We're thankful for his interventions. We're thankful for when he hears our prayer. But the greatest thing is he wants us to love him because of who he is. I love those words from Peter. You know, when Jesus, oh, we read it 2 weeks ago too, but when Jesus asks Peter, do you love me? 3 times over. 3 times. Peter had denied Jesus 3 times. And 3 times Jesus asked, do you love me? Peter really felt that. Yeah. He had wept bitterly when he left the court, when somebody had said that he was one of them and he had denied it. He had wept bitterly. Now, I think he must have been pretty sad at that moment too, that Jesus asked him 3 times, do you love me, Peter? And then he says, yes, Lord, I love you, and you know that I love you. And many a time in my weakness, in my coldness, I've said, Lord, you know that I love you. I have a hard time, Lord, but you know that I love you. And that's good to know. So, now the last thing, and then I'll close with that. Does God speak today? And I think Robert mentioned already too, but yes, God speaks today. When you accept Christ, when you don't accept him, God has nothing to say to you. Fini. But when you do accept him, the Holy Spirit comes to live within us, and he speaks to us. And of course, he speaks through, I got 4 things here. Number one, he speaks through his word. Sometimes, of course, when we read it, he's always speaking to us. And as I say, if we don't obey it, he will stop speaking to us. But sometimes in very particular moments, he speaks to us. I remember years ago when I was in Bible school and we were going to get married. And one of the teachers really told me off. He says, Richard, yeah, you're going to get married. Ha! How are you going to support your wife? And you're going to have kids? And how are you going to do this? And I was really down to dumps, I'll tell you. Because we were sure that God was bringing us together. And I went to my room and I fell on my knees and I started praying. And just like that, it wasn't an audible voice, but almost like it. Get up from your knees, take my word and read. And so, just clear as can be, you know, God speaking, oh yes. So I jumped up. I was on my knees. I jumped up and I grabbed my Bible and opened it. It fell open. Now, this is not the normal way of God guiding here, but exceptions. I opened it to Isaiah, where it says, "Why do you fear man and what he can do to you?" Maybe it doesn't mean much to you, but to me that was just, don't worry, Richard. Don't go by what these people say. He spoke very clearly. But there's other times I had to plainly walk by faith. One time when we moved, almost every time we moved, I was very sure that it was God's leading. But one time I didn't, from the east of Belgium to the west of Belgium. On the morning that the truck came to move us, or to help us move, was it? Truck from a friend, I had doubts. Are we doing the right thing? And at that time, I was reading in the book of Acts, and I came to chapter 16 in my devotions. I was going through Acts. In chapter 16, it says that Paul was traveling, and he wanted to go into Asia, and the Spirit said, no. And then he wanted to go somewhere else, and the Spirit said, no. And all at once it dawned on me, the greatest apostle of all times wasn't sure of the Lord's will and of the Lord's guidance. But he kept moving. And as he kept moving, God guided him and directed him. And that just gave me such peace. The greatest apostle of all times, and he didn't know the will of the Lord. He wanted to go there. The Spirit says, no, 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 no. Then he wanted to go there. The Spirit, no, 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 no. Yeah. Amazing, eh? So sometimes God speaks very clearly, other times he doesn't. He speaks through his word, he speaks through his spirit in our hearts. You know, God speaks to you a lot more than you realize. When you see a pretty woman walk on the street, and you're feeling, say, and you take a second look and you say, and then a little voice says, no, no. You get that? And that's just one example. Maybe you've got your own examples. When you want to do something or say something, I've had it that I wanted to say something to somebody and all at once, no, no, shut your mouth. I have that lots of times because my mouth is often open. Yeah. No, no, not now, wait. That's the Holy Spirit of God. You see, he's telling you, he's speaking to you much more than you realize, but you don't realize it as his voice. But it is. The Spirit of God is in us. I this is very, very simple actually, but when I got converted and it was a real experience, all at once God was real, the devil was real, and sin was real. Yeah, and when people were swearing, it hurt me. Like the lady in Belgium that she got saved, went to her door, and I said, yes, how did it go at work today? First day she was a Christian. Oh, she says, great. But she says, Richard, you know something? Do they ever swear in my office? And I said, and yes, isn't it something that they just started with that today? And then she smiled and, yes. Her conscience had been awakened and the Holy Spirit was in her and the Holy Spirit was speaking. And every time somebody swore, the Holy Spirit says, So the Spirit of God speaks to you a lot more than you think. He speaks through his word. He speaks through the spirit. He speaks, God speaks through circumstances. And God speaks through other people. So keep that in mind. I'm going to stop because our time is up. I could go on for hours, but we can't do that. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are a God who is really real. Our feelings might not always agree with that, but we know that we are not to go by our feelings, by our own perceptions, but we are to go by the facts. And the fact is that you are the creator of heaven and earth. There's no other explanation for this tremendous universe, for this wonderful earth, for the wonderful creation, for the plants and the flowers and the animals and ourselves, our human bodies, wonderful machines, the incredible human machine, our bodies. Lord, every organ speaks of you as the creator. And we thank you for that. So help us not to follow our feelings, but to focus on the facts, even as Jesus told Thomas to do that. And we thank you, Lord, that you speak even today, if we have accepted the Lord Jesus. And Lord, maybe there's someone here this morning who's never really surrendered to Christ. And I have to tell that person, God has nothing to say to you, because he spoke to you through his Son. You have to accept the Son first. But we thank you that when we do accept the Son, your Spirit comes to live within us. And he begins to speak to us. He begins to touch us. And we thank you for that. So, Lord, we surrender to you again this morning. And we thank you that we may walk with you and go through life with you in spite of the trials and the difficulties. But help us to be like Susie. Love you, not because of the candies, but because you are our God, our Father, and our Savior. We commit each other into your care. Lord, you know each person here this morning. You know the struggles each one has, the difficulties. But we pray that you will intervene, that you will speak, that you will touch, and that you will help us to grow in faith and dependence on you. In Jesus' name, amen.